Welcome back to Change Ed, your number one educational podcast in all of Pennsylvania. I am your host, Andrew Kuhn, education consultant from Montgomery County Intermediate Unit. And here with me
is Patrice Semichak, also out of the Montgomery County Intermediate Unit. And I am still an educational consultant.
Still, a job title is holding on strong.
Holding on.
We are super excited this month. In the month of February, we are talking about the love of teaching, the love of education. We thought it would make so much sense to sit down with educators from across Pennsylvania and talk to them about their passion for education. Why do they get involved? What gets them excited? What are they looking forward to? And so for this episode, we are delighted to have here Ken Zimmerman from Lancaster Lebanon Intermediate Unit. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes.
Did he say it right? It's Lebanon, Lebanon.
Yep. And I was looking for the number too, because we're always Lancaster Lebanon Intermediate Unit 13, right? Yeah.
Okay. I actually did have that in my head. Yep, I was like 13. Yep. I'm like, I'm not
going
to do it.
Some of us go by names. Some go by numbers. We do both.
All of it. All of the above. That's what makes you guys special.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a little known fact here for Change Ed that one of the prerequisites, if you're coming from Lancaster Lebanon, is you have to have the last name Zimmerman.
Evidently.
Yeah, right? It's required. So we had Jason on last month and we were thrilled. We had a great conversation. We're super excited to have you here.
That's just because there's so many Zimmermans in the Lancaster Lebanon area.
Oh,
so
good.
There's lots of clans.
So we have many more people at the IA to go through.
There you go.
Okay.
There'll be other Zimmermans down the pike.
from Lancaster Lebanon 13, not just
yep.
any.
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is important for the Change Ed Nation to hear is our gratitude for you, because you have been such a big advocate of this podcast and the work that we're doing on the podcast, you know, sharing, encouraging people to get involved, to listen. So we are really grateful for that advocacy. And want to also say that, as we're sharing about passions and things that we do, that I appreciate your superpower and that advocacy that you do in so many realms, that you get behind so many different educators who are doing the work to really empower them in their work. Mm-hmm. But I'm jumping ahead. So I guess what we'd really love to hear is how did you get involved in education? What was your path? Was it, from the onset, you knew you wanted to do this? Did you find yourself here? How did you get into this?
Sure.
Field?
Well, first I'd say, for the advocacy area, as I ventured into the IU land so many years ago, I learned very quickly that it's about increasing awareness and communication mm-hmm. in everything we do. We do things behind the scenes so much in so many different ways throughout the Commonwealth that people, teachers, educators just don't know everything that all the IUs are doing to be able to support them, right. love them, cherish them, and support them every way that we can do it. So I'm always about, let's increase awareness and communication in good work, just like this podcast is. It's great work. It's Thanks. Great nuggets for people to be able to take and listen to and be able to think, yes, I can do this, mm-hmm. or yes, I believe in that, and I'm part of that too. So I think that's my drive to always sure. to do that level of support. How I got started, I mean, honestly, I was one that not one size fits all. And a student in school was not easy for me. School was challenging. I was told, and this is always the thing, I was told, you're not really college material. You should probably focus in other areas. And the really? Moment that statement came into my life, I was one of those teenagers of saying, oh no. Absolutely not. I'm going for it.
Wow.
And you know what? I'm going to go teach.
Yep. So
if you don't think
opposite.
I can do it, I'm going to show you how I can do it.
Good I'm
going to
stick you. It in your face twice.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Yep. So I entered into teaching. I had a stint in full-time missions, and I lived in Venezuela for a number of years of my life in between my undergrad. Started my undergrad, left it after a sophomore year, and went into full-time missions. I didn't know how long yeah. that it was going to be, but absolutely fell in love with teaching second language acquisition. Mm-hmm. And in the missions work that I did, I taught English as a second mm-hmm. language and did all kinds of service work. And it really sparked within me that everybody learns differently. And when we try to do it the same way for all the kids in our classroom at the same time, we're missing way easily over a third of them in what we're trying to do, because they're not learning that same way. And that's where my passion has been. Student-centered learning, what I like to call personalized learning, but among our state right now, we're really going to be focused under the student-centered learning umbrella. So that's really been a passion and drive for me right now.
But it really does change the way in which you see things, right? I also grew up in Florida and I worked in Florida for a little while. And so the English language acquisition was just a part of my pre-service program. Like, we didn't have ESL. It was just part of it, right?
Sure.
So that was something that also sparked a lot of the conversation with my colleagues down there about how these different experiences give you opportunities to have your eyes open differently.
Absolutely.
And create better teachers because you were able to go and do something
right different. And learning a language, it was funny because I studied German in high school and my mom's like, oh, you know, you should really be studying Spanish because, you know, everybody's speaking Spanish. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm a Zimmerman. I have to do German. You know, well, then I've been sent to Venezuela and now I don't know Spanish. And so I had to learn Spanish. And the thing that blew me away is when you're living in a country where you're learning the language and you're immersed in the language, you learn it in a much different way than the way you learn it if you're sitting in a classroom textbook style. Mm-hmm. And bless their heart, Spanish teachers, shout out to all the Spanish teachers that are out there and those that have had full immersive experiences and those that have had only classroom experience. You try your hardest to work through it, to help them acquire the language. But our system in the United States, particularly in our part of the region, by starting languages so late, it's so hard to get them to pre-program their language components of their brains. But for me, it was, let's provide immersive experiences so that they learn how to be, are able to speak and converse because they're interested in it. Mm-hmm. They're curious. That's driving the learning, not the, okay, open up to this textbook and now we're going to conjugate verbs because that's just so exciting.
It's not exciting in English. No, I can't imagine in another
language.
So why
would it be in any language, right?
Why is everyone moaning? Yeah, come on, let's go.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, the thing that was resonating with me as you were sharing that is the correlation, obviously, between the way that we've taught kind of in this siloed manner versus integrating. And that immersion is that integration. It's kind of a beautiful combination of all sorts of different ideas and concepts we talk about in education, where when you're immersed, it's like you don't have a choice, right? This is what you're living and you need to you need to figure it out. But also, I think you're excited to figure it out differently, right? So like you said, that figuring out verbs,
right,
in that context of communicating, it matters, but not in the written form.
Right.
You're looking for the oral form.
Absolutely.
And how that works.
And people, depending on their personalities, some are very quick to just try to speak and they'll just speak as fast as they can and they don't care. They're just trying. And then there's others that meticulously choose every single word they're saying in their brain first before they let it come out. And they're oftentimes scared to death to let anything come out because it might be wrong. When you are in another country and you're learning just to survive, you're doing whatever you can to communicate.
Right.
And you're not thinking, you're trying, but you're trying to get your message across. You're using all kinds of nonverbals in the process to learn. And you learn when you say it right and you learn when to say it wrong, depending on what you ask for and what you're actually getting out of that request. Yeah. That's real life, right?
I wasn't supposed to get a raised eyebrow. I think I might have said that incorrectly.
Absolutely. Yep. I was put in precarious situations where I learned, you know, and it's hard to replicate that in the classroom, but it's important to remember that each student learns differently and they need to be allowed to feel safe to learn in which they, the manner they need to learn. And that's the challenge before educators today, because I might have 30 kids in this classroom and it's quite frankly, they might all learn differently. And so how do I help meet those needs? You know, and that's when it comes to play into creating a student-centered learning environment to help them be successful.
I love that.
Well, I'm gonna jump in on the mission trip story as well. it was not a prerequisite for the podcast or for any of us, but I actually, my history is I went to school for education. I taught for a year and then I left and I worked in the nonprofit world for 12 years. That nonprofit world was I worked for a church. And one of the very first things we did, I was a new youth minister, is we went on a mission trip. We went to Guatemala, which they speak Spanish in Guatemala. And we had someone on the team who was there with us who spoke Spanish quite fluently, and she kind of was our interpreter.
Yeah.
And as a new youth minister, I wanted to make a great impression on these new youth that we were with.
I feel a story coming.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, I said to her, I'm like, look, I want to get some water balloons. Like, how do we get water balloons? And she's like, there aren't words for that. Like, it's not a thing.
Not a thing.
So she's like, you know, she tried to put together, we need water and balloons. And they're like, why would you want balloons that you pour water on?
What do you
like,
mix
it does
the
not
two
make
for?
Sense. Yeah. Yeah. So finally we just got balloons and we were able to make it work. But I also supporting what you're saying about the immersion part, mm-hmm. where like I had studied Spanish, but it just clicked in a different way when I was there, or hearing somebody use that word in the context of a conversation made so much more sense. And then just different words that you would pick up, you know, being at the work site, right? You learned, okay, careful, or, mm-hmm. you know, right. they're going to go to the city, or, you know, you can start to pick up words that started to stick with you. And I think life experience is so important in education, right? Like mm-hmm. as educators, we learn as a student and then we are trained in college to be an educator. But then once you're done, we're so used to getting all of that feedback all along the way as mm-hmm. we're learning. But then once you graduate, experience is your best educator, right? Like right. all of a sudden Absolutely. It flipped and that's how right. you learn that. And,
right.
and that's that fully immersive experience right. where you need Absolutely. To, you're all in.
Yep.
And sometimes your best feedback are the 25 students that you have in front of you. And then other times you
and what their faces are telling us at the moment as we're speaking.
Yeah, yeah, raise an eyebrow. That's yeah, not what I right, meant. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Or you might need to step out of that experience and find right. somebody who has. Yep.
We took students abroad all the time. In the last trip that I did, we had 140 students that we took. It was crazy. Two airplanes, three buses. It was nuts wow. to Costa Rica. And I'll never forget the group that went there. There were so many that came back and were like, they just grew in leaps and bounds because they took advantage of being able to have that full immersive experience and give it a shot and try. And they were successful enough to communicate. They weren't perfect, but they were successful enough to communicate. And they came back. They're like enrolling in undergrad programs and teaching Spanish. They wanted to go be a Spanish teacher. And it just That's warms awesome. Your heart as a former Spanish yeah. classroom teacher to have other students, you know, that your students that want to go do that. But it was simply because they had that real life experience, that they had the classroom to back them up and giving that real life experience for them.
Wow. Well, Ken, we actually, I've only asked you one question.
Sorry. That's no. sometimes how it goes with
no,
me.
It's no, a gift. It's, good.
It's a gift. It's you, good. You are welcome on the podcast show anytime. And actually, we'd love to have you back. I feel like yeah. that's a Zimmerman thing. And I'm learning that be. Now as well.
We're just wordy.
Zimmerman or IU 13.
Yeah,
IU 13. I didn't say all the words though. Lancaster Levin and IU 13.
There you go.
But we definitely want to have you back, and we really appreciate your passion for education. And what's been so interesting about this journey for us and having these conversations in this podcast is that, you know, we can identify different, again, super strengths or people, things that people are so focused on, they're so well at, but then to hear the backstory, right. Mm-hmm. To hear that you were told, yeah, you're not college material. And then, right. and then your commitment to doing that. But also the thing that really stuck out to me in that journey is that your passion for student-centered learning undoubtedly comes from that experience where you Absolutely. Didn't get that yourself.
Right.
So how can yeah. I change education, which obviously, unbeknownst to us, you were part of the inspiration for the name of the podcast. Ooh. Let's change it together. So thank you so much. Thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me. You bet.
All right.